Hello, Cinnabar Moss, or any kind of moth you'd like to be. Welcome to the Writer's Triangle, Cinnabar Moss podcast about all things publishing and books. Today we are here with Dana Hammer, author of My Best Friend Athena. Dana, how are you doing today?
Great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks for asking. So, are you feeling excited about the release of My Best Friend Athena?
I'm very excited about it, yes.
Wonderful. And as you know, and perhaps some of our listeners also know, My Best Friend Athena is your second book published with us. Does this launch feel different than the launch for The Cannibal's Guide to Fasting?
A little bit it does, just because the audience is so different and the subject matter is so different. So yeah, the focus has been different than what I'm used to, but in a good way.
Okay. So, have you personally been doing anything different for this launch than you did for the first one?
Yeah, so with the first book, that's very much an adult book. So I was going through all of my typical, adult channels, but for this is my first children's or kids book. So I'm kind of having to learn different markets and different ways to reach out to people. I'm having to reach out to like teachers and schools and, even just like mom friends of mine that have kids.
Right.
So it's different people, but kind of the same tactics.
Okay, so you've had to change who you're reaching out to, but the exact method's the same.
Pretty much.
Okay, how's that felt for you with the kind of the change in market and everything? Has that been comfortable?
it has been because I think that it wouldn't be if it wasn't for the fact that I am a mom and I have a 9-year-old daughter. And so it's sort of more organic to promote a children's book than it would have been if I didn't have a kid, you know what I mean? Because there's already kind of a built-in, she has the Girl Scouts and groups that I can kind of contact and talk to about the book. So,
Oh, that is nice. Well, that does seem like it would allow you to have a much more natural feel into it because you already have these people that you know who have kids.
right.
So, with The Cannibal's Guide to Fasting being an adult book and My Best Friend Athena being a children's book, was the writing process different as well for them?
It wasn't as different as you might think. It's more just having to kind of edit myself and think with a more childlike brain, if that makes sense. But the actual process of writing was like pretty much the same. I just kind of sit down, I come up with my story, and I bang it out.
Okay. And so for you, it's just changing the language, but otherwise it's exactly the same.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Did you find that having to self-edit and do those changes was that difficult at all, or did you find it pretty straightforward?
I think that at one point in my life I would have found it very difficult, but again, I think motherhood changes that for me, because I'm kind of used to having to edit. There's a lot of, because I am an adult and I like horror and I like violence and I like those things, but I already spend most of my time editing that stuff away from my kid. So writing a book with that in mind, was a little more natural for me now than it would have been before I had a child.
Yeah, that does make sense. That does, as someone who's had to interact with kids quite a bit for previous work that I've done, it does sort of start becoming natural to just stop using certain language around them.
Right.
And so, do you think that you were able to enjoy the writing process for My Best Friend Athena more, or was it the same?
I actually enjoyed this more in a way, specifically because Fanny Fitzpatrick, my protagonist, her headspace is such a fun place to be. She's such a good person and she's funny and she's witty and she's smart. And being inside of her head like really put me in a good headspace. I always felt like I was in a really good mood when I was done writing her. And when I write my darker stuff, that it doesn't really have that effect because but yeah, no, I would say that writing this middle grade novel has been an extremely fun experience for me.
Okay, so would you say that the experience has kind of changed how you feel about writing overall? Do you think you'll be writing more middle grade in the future?
Yeah, I've already written a first draft of a sequel to My Best Friend Athena, and I enjoyed that. And I'm thinking of maybe doing another book as well, a third one. It's such a fun, lighthearted world, and I really like being there. I'm still going to write my adult stuff, my horror stuff, my dark stuff, but I think that it's good to have some range and as a writer, and I think that it's good to write some stuff that is good for me psychologically.
Yeah, I do think having some lighter spaces to go to is nice, especially when you're often delving into some of the harder topics to get into, or even just darker ones. Now, since you were mostly in the horror space before, what inspired you to branch out and write a middle grade book in My Best Friend Athena?
Honestly, it was because my daughter always wanted to read the things that I wrote, and obviously that's not okay. And I thought, you know, what if I wrote something that she could read? And so one week while my husband took her on vacation up north to visit family, I was like, I have a week to myself. Let's see if I can write something that's readable for a young kid. So that was kind of my motivation.
I think that's a lovely motivation. And has your daughter had the opportunity to read any of it yet? Or have you been keeping it secret for now?
Not yet. I'll give her a copy when I can actually give her a hard physical copy. But right now, still on the electric, she doesn't really have like a reader for that. So, yeah.
Okay. So with the process of writing My Best Friend Athena and with the launch process for it, were there any surprises for you that happened or anything that kind of shocked you about the process?
Honestly, no. Things have gone pretty smoothly with this book so far. Yeah, I wish I had a really interesting answer for that one, but I don't.
I think no surprises can be a good thing, right? You've experienced the book process before. You know what you're getting into, and everything going smoothly is kind of the best thing with this type of stuff, right?
That's how I feel, yeah.
And as you've written in the middle grade space and you've expanded from horror and everything, do you feel like that's improved your confidence as a writer as well?
I would say yes. It's good to know that I have some range and I'm not just a one-trick pony. You know what I mean? It's because, you know, you can get kind of pigeonholed as the horror writer, the weird quirky writer. It's nice to know that I can do other things as well.
Yeah, I can understand that. And I do think there are some people who find success and are okay with just being known as the horror writer. But if you're able to do more, then you can reach more people and that variety feels nice, like you mentioned before.
Turned out on the one thing.
Yeah. So now that you have a second book coming out, do you feel like you can identify stronger as being an author with like a capital A?
I don't know. I think I felt that way with the first book, to be honest. And I guess I sort of subscribe to the notion that, you know, a writer's a writer, whether they're published or not. So under that definition, I feel like I've been a writer for a very long time. It's just now I have like an actual book deal.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because you have been writing, right?
Yeah.
How long have you been writing, if you don't mind me asking?
Years now. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I've always written stuff, but with the aim of publishing it, I've been trying to do that for a few years.
Okay, so you had that time when you weren't really looking to publish, you're just exploring your creativity.
Yeah. I think like just as a kid or even as like a young adult, I would just write things for fun. I never intended to publish any of it. It was just something I did.
Now that you've had a few years where you've been searching to publish, you are currently looking at your second book being published. Or is your family excited about My Best Friend Athena launching?
I think so, yeah.
Who would you say is the most excited in your family about it?
Oh, me. Yeah.
That makes sense to me. You're the person who wrote it, right? So.
Yeah.
For my the Campbell's Guide to Fasting and My Best Friend Athena, what are some milestones that the Campbell's Guide to Fasting achieved that you hope My Best Friend Athena can achieve and even surpass?
Well, I really was pleased with the reviews that my best friend, or excuse me, that the Cannibal's Guide to Fasting got. I was really pleased that it really seems to resonate with people. It's been basically all really positive feedback, and I'm hoping that my best friend Athena will play similarly, that people will like it. Obviously, if I could make more money off it, that would be a great thing. Yeah. I just hope that people like it, really.
Okay, so for you, it's mostly about the connection to your audience.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. You mentioned before that you're looking at continuing to write both horror in the horror space and in the middle grade space, with a potential sequel for My Best Friend Athena. And how do you feel about switching between the two? Is it comfortable having when you do the switch back and forth?
It is, and honestly, I think it's necessary. For me personally now, I don't feel like I could do just one anymore. I really like the transition. I like that I can do something a little dark and a little scary, and I like that when that gets to be too much, I have this other option. I can go back and write something fluffier and kid-friendly. I think, there's always going to be humor in both of my genres, or really any genre I write, but I like that I can now flip between like the weightier stuff and the sillier stuff.
Okay. And so with the having the sillier stuff, you're able to kind of take a breather but still have your creativity being expressed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And going into that a little bit more, when it comes to the weight of it, right? When writing these darker stories and right and then switching over to the lighter stories, is it hard for you to then switch back to the darker stuff, or is it pretty straightforward because you've gotten that breather?
No, I don't have any problem switching back and forth. I feel like both sorts of stories are a part of me, and it's easy for me to access them both anytime I need to.
Okay. So it's mostly just a matter of the mental weight of it
Yeah.
over time. That's interesting to me because I think that I've personally, when I've written some things, I found that there are topics that are like, okay, I can get into this for a bit, but then eventually I just gotta switch my mind off of
Yeah.
it. So, with the release of The Campbell's Guide to Fasting, it created a lot of buzz. Are you aware of the fan base that you've created with the book?
I try not to follow that too terribly much because it starts to stress me out, but I do know that there are people out there who really like it, and that makes me very, very happy.
Okay, so the thought of having a fan base kind of is this pressure that you don't really enjoy, even though you're happy that people are connecting to it.
I love the idea of having a fan base, but I don't necessarily want to focus on it a lot, if that makes any sense.
That does. It's great that people are connecting to it. You love that people are reading it, but also that's not something that you can spend a lot of time thinking about because it can kind of distract you from just writing gently. The authentic creativity from your mind a bit, right?
Absolutely. And I don't want it to overly influence me, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And so with that and going into My Best Friend Athena, are you excited for a specific character to be interacted with by your audience and by people reading it? Is there a specific character you think, oh yeah, I can't wait for people to experience, like, for example, the main character, Fanny Fitzpatrick.
I like to think that all three of the main characters that I've written are really cool and that people will like them. Personally, Gemma's kind of my favorite right now because she's got like this kind of little dark psychopathic streak to her that I think is hilarious. And really fun to have in like a little girl. But I think that all of the characters are really strong. And I think that, you know, I hope that kids this age range will find things to admire about them and connect to with them.
Okay. So each of them have their own personality traits that you're hoping that people connect to and find enjoyable.
Right.
You mentioned before that the inspiration for it was having, was your daughter and having a book that she could read, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were there any characters that you had in mind for your daughter to connect to on a personal level? Be like, I think that my daughter would love this character.
I think that she'll love Athena. I really wanted her to connect with Fanny. Like my daughter, Fanny's really good at math. Fanny's very confident in a lot of ways. She has a good attitude about things for the most part. I mean, she's flawed. She's not perfect, but she's a genuinely good person, and she tries to do the right thing, and she's very motivated and goal-oriented. And I think that those are all good qualities that I would like my daughter and really everyone's daughter to look up to.
Okay, so you have a couple of characters with qualities that you want to represent as sort of a positive model, and also just for them to connect to and enjoy.
Right.
And then for you, you mentioned that Gemma is your favorite character in My Best Friend Athena. Is that correct?
She is. Yeah.
And with that, and having written the book, are there any Easter eggs or surprises for fans to potentially look out for?
I don't know if there are Easter eggs, but there's definitely surprises. I don't want to give them away, but there are twists and turns that I think will be nice surprises for people who are reading it.
Yeah. Is there anything that you think that the potential readers will love the most about My Best Friend Athena, or any standout archetypes or dynamics?
I think they'll like the reveal at the end. I think they'll like the twist where we find out some new information. I think that they'll like the humor in it. I think they'll like, because there are a lot of really funny spots. And I think that, I hope that they'll like being in Fanny's head as much as I liked being in her head.
I know when I've read it that I enjoyed Fanny's perspective on things. It was sweet and cute.
Yeah, it is.
So with writing My Best Friend Athena, you mentioned your daughter's the inspiration, but did you think a lot about your daughter while writing it? Did you think about the fans while writing it? What was your focus when you started thinking about the story?
I was thinking about all of those things, actually. And then also thinking of myself when I was that age. I tried really hard to remember what it felt like to be 11. And I really wanted it to seem authentic. I know sometimes when you read things written by adults that are about young children, a lot of times it's just like, my parents, homework, my parents, homework, my parents, homework. But when I remember when I was 11, I rarely thought about those things. So I wanted it to be relatable to like real children and have Fanny care about things that an actual 11-year-old might care about. I don't know if I 100% succeeded in that, but that was my goal. So I tried to channel, you know, kids I know who are about that age, while also trying to remember what it was like to be that age myself.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I do agree with you that quite often these books end up with children that seem almost businesslike in their behavior.
Yeah.
Where school is a form of work, and that they interact with it on that level, which doesn't really feel genuine to a child's experience, right?
Right. A lot of these kids in these middle grade books, it's like all they think about is school. And I'm like, I don't think that's accurate. I mean, maybe for some kids, but that certainly wasn't my experience.
Yeah, I think for mine, I spent some time thinking about school, but most of my school thoughts were mostly about my friends at school or teachers that I liked at school.
Yeah, it's more about the social stuff that you think of. Like, I don't know, at least that was how it was for me.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Thinking back over, I had a lot more social mindset. Of course, homework was part of it, and it was part of my thoughts, but much less so than hanging out with my friends on the weekend or, you know, the after-school activities, sports, all of that.
Right.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but now that you mention it, I'm thinking over some books that I've read in the past that are very much that way with children being represented as sort of in a kind of sterile environment of sorts.
Yes.
And I do think having read My Best Friend, I think that you do, personally, I think you do a great job with bringing more life to that and bringing more of a, I guess saying it as someone who's no longer a kid, authentic view might not be fair. I might be a little bit biased. I don't know.
Well, you know, the same here. That's what I hope. I really hope that it does come across as authentic. I hope that kids who read it feel like it's at least somewhat representative of how their lives are.
Mm.
I mean, fantasy stuff aside, obviously.
Oh, yeah. It is a fantasy book at the same time. But I do think that that slice of life portion of it is still there. And so with My Best Friend Athena and that writing process of getting into it, did you ask any questions of your daughter or like reach out to other people for feedback about that type of thing? Or did you mostly do that from your own thoughts?
It's mostly just observing kids interact with each other and also just remembering my own fifth grade experience. So, no, I didn't really like research it in any serious way.
Yeah. Still, I think that with your memories and everything that you've used, that it comes across very well from my personal opinion.
Thank you. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm excited for the release of My Best Friend Athena, and I'm confident that your fans are as well. Do you have any final thoughts or things that you want to say about My Best Friend Athena, or things that you're hoping people look out for with it?
Just that it is coming out in February, and I hope that everybody likes it. And if you have any, you know, comments or questions, you can always reach out to me on my website or whatever. And I'm happy to talk with anybody.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dana, for talking with us today and being on the Writer's Triangle. And thank you to all of our beautiful moms for listening. Be sure to buy My Best Friend Athena. It is coming out. Excuse me, sorry. My Best Friend Athena is coming out on Friday, the 7th in 2023. And Dana, can you tell us really quickly where to find you? You mentioned a website.
My website is www.danahammer.com, or you can reach me on my Facebook author page, Dana Hammer Author.
Wonderful. And for all of our listeners, be sure to visit cinebarmoth.com to check out the transcripts. And we'll also have the link to Dana's social media. Dana, once again, thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks for having me.
And bye-bye.